when seasons change. Come on, say that. When seasons change. Now, our series theme for this series is how to prepare for the seasons of change in your life, in our life. This is lesson 3 of a 4-lesson series. So we have one more lesson next week. This is lesson 3 of a 4-lesson series. In each one of these lessons, we have a subtopic. And today, our subtopic is timing is everything. Will you say that? Timing is everything. Will you say it again? Timing is everything. Now, there are going to be some places that I'm going to move real fast. I know some of you are taking notes. This is always recorded, so you can always go to the app. But some places I'm going to be moving kind of fast. Other places I'll slow down. But I want you to be listening for what God wants to say to you. Our foundational text, our foundational scripture in this series is Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in the New King James Version. It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. In our first two lessons, we learned that in life, everything in life is seasonal. Everything in life is seasonal. We also learned in our first two lessons that there are 3 categories of change. There is evolutionary change, there is crisis change, and then there is visionary change. In lesson 1, we talked about evolutionary change, and we said that evolutionary change is a gradual process of changing into something different. In lesson 2, last week, we talked about crisis change, and we said that crisis change is a sudden event over which often we have no personal control. In this lesson today, we're going to talk about visionary change. Say visionary change. Visionary. Now, I personally believe that visionary change is the highest level of change. The highest level of change. I also believe that visionary change is the most exciting category of change. So I have some exciting news to you, for you today. So let's talk about visionary change. What is visionary change? I'll give you my definition. They'll put it up on the monitor. Visionary change is change that you voluntarily initiate based on a desire to experience something new. Now, this is a good definition. This is a really good definition. Visionary change is change that you, come on, say me. Me, voluntarily initiate based on your desire to experience something new, or we could say something better. Now, listen. The history books are simply a record of people throughout time who initiated change. That's what the history books really are about. It's about those who were willing in their arena, their era, they were willing to make changes because they wanted to experience something different or something better. So visionary change is proactive and not reactive. It's proactive. It's not reactive. Visionary change is creating change on purpose. Come on, say on purpose. On purpose. Rather than waiting for it to be forced upon you. Creating change on purpose, not waiting for it to be forced on you. Because in life, everything is seasonal, and we live in a world of a velocity of change. The world is constantly changing. So average people, and that's not you, you're not average. You're not average. Average people don't wait for change to be forced on them. Because it's coming whether you want it or not. You know, I mentioned earlier when we were talking about the Father, I have gotten shorter. I used to tell folk I was 6 feet tall. I went to the doctor. They put me on that scale. I'm not going to tell you what they told me. But they didn't say 6 feet. Okay. Visionary change is change that you initiate on purpose because you want something different or something better. Visionary change. Say visionary change. Visionary change, and we're going to talk about timing, but visionary change implies a couple of things. It implies a vision. It implies that you're going somewhere. Or it implies that you want to go somewhere. Are you going somewhere? Am I talking to folk who are going somewhere? Amen. So visionary change implies vision. But it also implies a visionary, a change agent. Okay. So let me ask a question. Let me ask you a question. I want to ask you the question. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you a question. So if visionary change implies vision, and that means you're going somewhere, and it also implies a visionary, then question. Who is the visionary? I ask you a question. I ask you a question. Who is the visionary? Oh, you. You're the visionary. Now let's go back to our definition. Visionary change is change that you. See, you are the visionary. You're the visionary husbands. You're the visionary wives. You're the visionary fathers. You're the visionary mamas. You're the visionary grandparents. You're the visionary singles. You're the visionary students. You're the visionary ministers. You're the visionary business person. You are the visionary. Come on, say, I'm the visionary. Now, if you're in a dysfunctional situation, you're still the visionary. If you're in a toxic relationship, you're still the visionary. If you're in bondage to self-defeating habits and addictions, you're the visionary. You're in charge. You're in charge. If you're bored, if you're dissatisfied, if you're not happy, you are the visionary. If you have plateaued, if you're stagnant, it seems like you're not moving. You are the visionary. So what you gonna do about it? If you're young, most of your life is out in front of you. What you gonna do about it? You're the visionary. Let me talk to my seniors here. Especially my retirees. My retirees, you are the visionary. So if you want to settle for getting the check and stop and look back and your best days are behind you, you're the visionary. You're the visionary. If you've reached your peak, if God has done all he can do for you, then you're the visionary. Come on, say, I am the visionary. We're talking about visionary change. Now, I'm going to talk to you. Before I talk timing, I want to share with you that visionary change is what we're talking about. Your mindset has to be different. This is just my introduction. It has to be what? If you're going to be a change agent, if you're going to initiate change because you want something different or something better, then you have to have a certain mindset. You must have the mindset that doesn't look at change as a problem, but as a solution. I say you have to look at change not as a problem. You have to look at change as a solution. Now, it may be a solution to fix a problem. It may be a solution for opportunity. It may be the solution to go to another level. But guess what, precious people? It is change. I'm a visionary change. It is a solution for you to be the architect of your future. You don't have to sit around and be reactive the rest of your life. See what's going to happen tomorrow. See how things are going to be tomorrow. Why not be the architect of your future? You got to have a certain mindset. If you're going to embrace visionary change, you must have the mindset of curiosity, openness, courage to learn and to do things differently. Anybody can do the same thing over and over and over and over, but it takes courage, openness, courage to do something different. Curiosity about how life can be different. It's risky. Visionary change is what? But the greater the risk, the greater the dividends. When you agree with that? You got to have a certain mindset. Come on, say mindset. I say you have to have a certain mindset. Say mindset. Come on, you got to. Are there any visionaries listening to me? You have to have the mindset of embracing the future rather than protecting the past. The mindset of embracing the future, or you're going to protect the past. Now, there are risks in both options. You can embrace the future, or you can protect the past. You can embrace the future, or you can protect the past. You can embrace the future, or you can protect the past. Oh, to all my sports enthusiasts. Because we are all Golden State Warriors fans. All of us. Even the ones who were Boston fans. We had a great defensive team and a great offensive team. And offense won. And that's the way life is. You can play defense and protect your pass. Or you can play offense and embrace the future. Now watch this. If you embrace the future, it's risky. If you protect the past, it's certain. I'll stop right there. If you embrace the future, it's risky. because you're taking a chance. But if you protect the past, it's certain that sooner or later, you're going to be irrelevant. Sooner or later, you're going to be a used-to-day person, used-to-day ministry, used-to-day business. It is certain you're going to die. So what are you going to do? How then the visionaries? Oh, the hand kind of went. Any visionaries? Okay, all right. Now, listen at this. Let's talk about timing. Timing and change, because I think we got some visionaries here. Timing and change. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in the Message Bible says there's an opportune time to do things, a right time for everything on the earth. Timing. Timing. Timing affects everything in life. So getting the timing right on initiating the change is important. Whether it's going back to school, whether it's getting married, whether it's becoming a parent, whether it's changing jobs or careers, whether it is retiring, getting the timing right is so very important. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 5 in the New Century Version says, a wise person does the right thing at the right time. The right thing. Visionary change is the right thing. It is the right thing. Please don't sit back and wait for change to force you to change. Take an active step. Take an active step. All we've said the last two weeks is it's seasonal. Life is going to change. So don't sit around waiting for you to be forced to change. Take the initiative. Take the initiative. Now, I like seven. So I'm going to give you seven keys to discerning the best time to make a significant change in your life. Now, because there are seven, I don't have time to just go real deep into all of them, so some of them I'll spend a little more time in it. Okay, you're making a significant change. Now, watch this. Great thinkers are usually successful. Okay, much of life has to do with decision making. Okay, much of it has to do with situation. The people, for the most part, that are successful are great thinkers. Okay, most people live spontaneously, and there's a place for it. But what these seven things do, they give you not a formula, but they give you a thinker's process of how to go about making significant changes and not just winging it, okay? So listen, number one, if you're making a significant change in your life, like getting married, okay, or any other significant change, ask God for wisdom. Amen. That's the starting point. The starting point is to ask God for wisdom. Now, God knows everything. He's omniscient, right? And he also plots and plans our destiny from the end to the beginning. In other words, God figures it all out and then he backs up. Okay? So God know how this thing should work out. Okay? Give him credit for for knowing how things should work out, how to get you to the next level. So you're going to ask him for wisdom. And James 1 verse 5 in the New International Version says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Now, the sixth verse says that when you go to God and you ask God for wisdom, ask in faith. Okay, you're getting ready to make a significant decision. A significant decision. And you're going to ask God for wisdom. You're going to ask God for wisdom. You should have already asked him for wisdom concerning what to do, but you're going to ask God for wisdom concerning timing, because timing can break you. You can do the right thing at the wrong time, okay? So you're going to ask him for wisdom concerning the time. Now, the moment you say, Father, in Jesus' name, based off James 1:5, I'm asking you for wisdom concerning the timing. The Bible says that you have to ask in faith. Now, listen carefully. Once you ask for the wisdom, you believe you receive it. Okay, you believe what? You believe you receive it. From that point on, your daily confession is, I believe I have the wisdom of God concerning the timing. Now, I don't know what to do. I don't know when I'm going to do that, because the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable. We're talking faith now. The moment you ask for timing, wisdom concerning, I believe I receive it. Come on, say, I believe I receive it. Yes. Come on, say, I believe I receive it. Yes. Now, from that point on, every day, you're not going to ask anymore. From that point on, Father, I just want to thank you. I believe I have your wisdom. I believe I know exactly what to do. I believe I know exactly when to do it. I believe I have every single day. Even though mentally you don't know, you believe it. Got that. Okay, let's go to the second. Now, once you've asked him for wisdom, you started with God. Secondly, you're going to seek out counsel from wise advisors. Seek out counsel from wise advisors. Why is that so important? Because when considering a significant change in your life, relying on your own perspective is not wise. It's not wise to rely just on your perspective. This is significant. This is not a little deal. This is going to impact people's lives. So you need to seek counsel from others. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, Amplified, it says, where no wise guidance is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now listen at this. Listen at this. Ask questions of people, advisors, watch this, who have already been where you're going, are people that are doing what you want to do. Okay? And that would include everything from deciding where you go to college or the career that you want to walk in. Talk to someone who's walked that path. Talk to someone who's done or doing what you want to do. Now, listen at this. This is why this number two is so important, because often God will give you his wisdom through others. Now, did you hear how I said that? I said often God will give you his wisdom through others, or he will confirm through others what you're sensing. Does that make sense? Now, so that's number two. You're going to seek out counsel from wise advisors. Now, we're going to go to number three, and number three is going to be somewhat of a balance of what I just said. Okay? Number three. Number one, we ask God for wisdom. Number two, we go to people to get counsel, people who are doing what we want to do, have done what we want to do, or where we want to go. Then number three, get quiet and listen to God. Get quiet because God doesn't shout. Now look at the progression, and I'll give you some insight on that in a minute. But look at the progression. You're going to God first. You're not going to make a decision without going to Him when? Okay. Now, we believe we received the wisdom, right? But we in faith, right? So in our intellect and our mind, we still don't know, but we believe we know. Right? Then we're going to talk to someone who has the experience or have done it or have gone there. I'm going to talk to them right now. I'm going to go back to God and get quiet. I'm going to get quiet before God. Now, here's a reflection question. Here's a reflection question. Is God beginning to stir up anything in you? Is God beginning now to stir up something in you that was previously settled? I mean, you were satisfied. You were settled in that thing, but is God now stirring up something that you had already settled your mind on? Now listen at this. Concerning, we're gonna, number three, get quiet and listen to God, because now we want to know, listen carefully now. This is good. I'm about to get happy all by myself right here. Okay. Now I got wisdom. And when people, let's say another pastor comes to me. If another pastor comes to me, and I got a lot of experience pastoring, 41 years, add another year, another church, 42 years, that's a lot of experience. So if a pastor comes to me and trying to get where I have been, I'm going to give Bible counsel advice, but I'm also give my experience, right? So when I go back, number three, and get quiet before God now, I've got the counsel from the expert, let's say that. I want to get quiet before God because now I want to know, does God want me to do it the same way? Because some things you don't have to invent the wheel on.
All right.
Or does God, I'm talking about the counsel now, I'm getting quiet before God, does God want me to tweak it? In other words, some of what the advisor gave me, I can use. Some of it, it doesn't fit. Does that make sense? Or does God want me to go in a totally different direction because of my emphasis, the impact He wants me to have, and the calling He gives me? So I can talk to Pastor Mike, but God, the way God is calling me as a pastor, the emphasis God wants me to have may not be the same emphasis that Pastor Mike had. So that's why I got to get before God and get quiet and listen to God. Even though I've asked Him for wisdom, even I talked to the expert, the experienced person, now I want to get quiet before God because I want to know how I'm to process the information that I got from the expert. Does that make sense to you? Is that practical? Can you follow this? Now, listen at this. Number four, observe your past and your present. See, successful people are great thinkers, okay? They're not just doing stuff without thinking. Great people on the cutting edge, people who win, and that's you. They're thinking.
Amen.
They're not just marrying somebody and hope it turned out all right. They don't just quit their job and think God's gonna catch me. They're great thinkers.
Amen.
So number four, observe my past and my present. I'm gonna observe, because I'm thinking through this decision. I hadn't made a decision yet, but I want to observe my past, want to observe my present. Now listen at Proverbs 24:32. Proverbs 24:32 in the NIV translation says, I applied my heart to what I observed and I learned a lesson from what I saw. So this number four here, I'm gonna observe my past. And I'm going to observe my present. Let's talk about my past. Now listen at this. God will often guide you into your future by giving you a path that prepares you for it. God will often guide you into your what? Future. By giving you a what? Path that prepares you for it. Now listen at this. Listen at this. Listen carefully now. God is a God of preparation. You understand that? Now I use examples about ministry, but that's my profession. I see people call, genuine call on their life. No doubt about it, God called them. No doubt about it. Then they go out and try to do it. And then they fall on their face and they question whether or not God called them to do it. But yes, he did. But God is a God of preparation. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully at this. Often God is preparing us even when we don't know we're being prepared.
All right. That's a good one right there now.
Is that a good one? Okay. Now, I'll give you an illustration of that. Okay. When I graduated from college, I wanted to go to law school, but I applied late. So I had to wait a year before I, could apply and get in. So I got a job with the college that I graduated from, and I got an assignment as an admissions counselor / recruiter. And my assignment was to go to three states, Alabama, Tennessee, and Georgia, and recruit students for college. Got it? So I'm going to these different places. I'm recruiting, right? I'm selling the college. Got it? Then I got in law school the next year, and during that time of law school, it was very demanding, a lot of studying, and then there were times when a professor would call on you, and you had to stand up in front of all these people and give your answer, and attorneys base their case on case law. In other words, you got to take precedence, what has happened, and apply it to the situation today, and you're really persuading a jury or whoever you're trying to persuade. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Now, listen, my future is not in either one. My future is not in recruiting kids for college. My future is not in law. My future is in ministry, and God already knows it. So think about it. I'm doing the same thing now. I'm recruiting. I'm recruiting, baby. I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to get you hooked up to this kingdom. I'm trying to get you hooked up to Jesus. I'm giving you my case right now. I'm saying you need to do this, and this is my finding. The word says this. What was God doing? God was preparing me for my future. God is proactive. God has been preparing you all your life for your future.
Hallelujah.
And sometimes it can take you, God, 20 or 30 years or 40 years to get you to where he wants you to go. That's why I'm talking to you retirees. Listen, God got more for you. Than getting a check. And many times he's preparing you for your future.
Okay. Yes, sir.
That's why when you're making these decisions, you want to look back and consider your past. Does that make sense to you? Come on, shake your head if this making sense to you. Now listen at this. But number four also tells us we have to observe our present. Look at what's going on in your present situation. In other words, your present level of pain and frustration. Your present level of pain, your present level of frustration. Because consistent pain and frustration are signals that you need to make some changes. Our frustration is an unsuccessful attempt. And sooner or later, you have to realize this thing ain't working. Does that make sense? So pain and frustration are often signals you need to make a change. Your level of supply. God spoke to Elijah and said, I want you to turn eastward, go by the brook during a drought, and I want you to wait on the birds to feed you. And I want you to drink from the brook. Watch this. He did it. Birds came, fed him, drank from the brook. The brook was lashing through the drought. Then the brook, what? It dried up. Now you can stay by that brook. And the brook was great for your past. It was wonderful. That's why if you protect your past and the brook dry up, does that make sense to you? Four lepers are standing outside of the city walls. The Syrians came down, surrounded the city, cut off the food supply. Folk in the city, starving to death, had resorted to cannibalism. One person ate another person's child. Folk hungry in that city. Four lepers on the outside. And they start thinking, why are we going to sit here till we die? Well, I mean, they thought through the thing like you're doing right now. You're thinking through. And God sent me to tell you this because some of you are making major decisions. They sitting at this and folks starving over there. They say, if we go back over there in that city, we're going to die. In other words, if we protect the past. Come on now. They say, if we stay right here, no food trucks. You see the food trucks? Ain't no food trucks. Come on now. They said, we're going to die right here. They said, well, we might as well go to the enemy's camp. Because if they kill us, we were going to die anyway. But if they let us stay alive, at least we'll have something to eat. It was risky. But if you protect your past, it's certain. If you don't change some things about your marriage, it's certain. It's certain. I know your daddy did that and your mama did that, but you got to change something. Because it's certain that horse is going to fall over and die. You can ride that baby in the ground, but it's going to fall over. Some of you ride some horses right now, that baby's going to fall over. It's going to fall over and die. So when you're making a decision, you want to look back at your past. How have God prepared me? You want to look at your present, your level of frustration, your level of plan, your level of supply. Is it still coming? You know, some people let the pandemic decide what they were going to do about church. Yes, they did. I'm talking to you right now. You decide I ain't never going back to church again. You know who led you to do that? The pandemic. Okay. Jesus. But that brook gonna dry up. Listen, I'm not messing with you. I'm a prophet. That brook is going to dry up. It sustained you when it was supposed to sustain you. But that brook, that ain't for everybody. That brook is going to dry up. Number five, you getting anything out of this? Do you want 5, 6, and 7? Or do you want me to give you the benediction? Do you want 5? Do you want 5? Do you want 5? Do you want 5? Beg for 5. Okay. Take time, number five, take time to think through the decision. You said, boy, we've been doing a lot of thinking. Yep, we're doing a lot of thinking. Take time to think through the decision. Proverbs 19:2, and the New English Translation, the one who acts hastily makes poor choices. So when you're trying to make when you're making a significant decision, you don't want to rush it. Rick Warren said, a good decision is always better than a fast one.
That's good.
Wouldn't you agree with that? Amen. You're thinking through the decision. It's significant, watch this, because the decision, if it's significant, going to usually impact not just you, it's going to impact others that you're tied to in relationship. I think you said that in one of you all said that in your introduction. Our decisions impact those that we're in relationship with. So if a couple is thinking about a divorce, you got to think through it, because kids are going to be. Does that make sense to you? So you're thinking through it like, who is this going to impact? Are there some things I need to do to mitigate the impact that it's going to have? It may be a decision you still may have to make, but what can I do to mitigate the impact that this is going to have on other folks? So you're thinking through how it's going to impact you, how it's going to impact others. Sometimes you're thinking about, for example, a lot of times I think about you when I have decisions. Yeah, I think about you. Because she's fine, man. That girl fine. Shoot. But then you come on my mind. Then the men in our church come on my mind. Because men, they're quick to jump. Quick to join, but the moment they commit, they in it for good. So women will get hurt, find them another church. Men will get hurt and quit the thing altogether. Does this make sense? So you're thinking through of how this impacts others. You're also thinking through the cost. The cost of the change, financial cost, emotional cost, the loss, because any significant change, you got to lose something to go in that direction. You're thinking through your level of commitment. Are you going to stick with this? Because it may be some challenges initially, but are you going to stick with it? Does that make sense? Do you want number 6? Okay, number 6. This is good stuff. You need to go back and get this and download this and put this somewhere when you're doing this. Trust God's timing.
Amen.
Now, listen at this. We're almost there. We're almost where we need to go. Trust God's timing. Psalms 31, verse 14 through 15 in the New King James Version says, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. My times are in your hand. Now listen to this carefully. Trusting God's timing. Sometimes, and this has been true of my life, all through my life. Sometimes I know what to do. Sometimes I know when to do it. But that doesn't alleviate trusting. Now, let me explain that. Remember when we talked the supernatural life and hearing God? And the first principle I shared with you is that God rarely allows us to see every step we need to take in a situation, but he always reveals the next step we need to take. Got it? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:8 concerning Abraham, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Okay, so he knew he should go, right? He even knew when he should go. But God did not reveal all the steps in between everything that he didn't show all the supply. He didn't see all the people. He didn't see all this, because God does not show you all that. Even if you know you should, and even if you know the timing, you're still going to have to trust him.
Amen.
Because God often will just give you one step to take. And then when you take that step, he gives you something else. You take another step. And then you see some supply over here. And you see this person to help you. And you see this and you see that and you see that. But you don't see that down here, even though you know you should do it. Even though you know when you should do it. You got to trust him. Now watch this. Trust is the willingness to take bold steps without full or complete understanding or explanation. Bold steps. Bold steps. That's all I've done all my career. Bold steps. When Faith Chapel first started, for people, it was a bold step. Didn't see all this? It was just a bold step. You hear me? A bold step. When we built this building, we didn't see all the money, did we? No, we didn't see all the money. We knew we should do it. We even had the time to do it. But God didn't show us all the money. He didn't show all the people would help. He didn't show all you. He didn't show all that. It didn't show up on the book. So we had to take some bold steps. God is not going to tell you why, how, when, and all. He ain't going to answer all your questions. So you're never going to make visionary changes if you have to have God to plot it out for you, because he's not going to do it. Because he's a faith God, and you're going to have to trust him.
Wow. Wow.
Everything. You got to what?
Trust.
You know, God sometimes will show you who you should marry. He'll show you if you want him to. Now, some people don't believe in that, but I believe he'll show you. But even once you say, I do, it's going to be, that's a bold thing. Because stuff's going to come out you didn't see.
Right.
In you and in her.
Amen.
Number 7. You getting anything out of this? I thought this was a good lesson. Good word? Okay, now look at number 7. Step out in faith at the pace God sets. Step out in faith at the pace that God sets. Now, you walk through the process. Now you're going to step out in faith, but you ain't going to just run all the way. You're going to let God set the pace. Romans 3:28 in the Message Bible says, our lives get in step with God and all others by letting him set the pace. Now, I believe that some of you, whether you're watching online or whether you're in this church right now, in this building right now, I believe that you're in a place where you're dealing with significant changes. I really believe that. I believe that God, by the way, I ain't prepared this message. Michael K. prepared this message. But I believe that God sees ahead and he provides. I believe somebody really, you, I believe somebody really needed to hear this.
Amen.
So if that's you, get the app. That's you? Okay. Get on the app. Go back and listen to it, okay? Because you're going to hear stuff that you didn't hear in this setting. And listen to it several times, okay? And guess what? You're going to be very successful. And you're going to hit it. And you're going to win. And you're going to do good. Now, I'll share this. And then I'm going to give an invitation. I'll share this. Whenever you take the time like this, you're talking to God and you're trying to do all this, you're talking to different people. Watch this. This is something I learned because I used to be afraid to make tough decisions. Really used to be afraid. Scared, not just afraid, scared. One thing I learned about God, if your heart is right and you're seeking him and you want to please him, you can even miss it. And he'll keep you. Did you hear that? So don't be afraid now. Don't be afraid if you're seeking him and you want to please him. Even if you miss it, he'll keep you. I'm a living witness. I missed it. He didn't throw me away. He didn't slap me across the head. He just picked me back up, got me back on track. Because my heart was right. You understand? I wasn't ego tripping. My heart was right. I was seeking God. And if you're seeking him, don't ever be afraid. Amen.